Love the old story Dr. David Leninger told in his sermon simply titled Heaven. And if you were paying attention last week, you might just guess the punchline. He told of the rich man who, on his deathbed, negotiated with God to allow him to bring his earthly treasures with him when he came to heaven. God's reaction was that this was a most unusual request. But since this man had been exceptionally faithful, permission was granted to bring along just one suitcase. When the time arrived, the man presented himself at the pearly gates, suitcase in hand, in both hands actually, since he had stuffed it with as many gold bars as would fit. St. Peter said, "Sorry, you know the rules, you can't take it with you." But the man protested, "God said I could, just one suitcase." St. Peter checked, found that this one would be an exception. Prepared to let the man enter, he then said, "Okay, but I will have to examine the contents of the suitcase before you pass." He took the suitcase, opened it up, saw the gold bars, and asked quizzically, "You brought pavement?" Welcome, little flock of the Lord, to Almena United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us, I bid you a particular welcome, and you can rest assured all are welcome here, saint and sinner alike. When John, the author of the book of Revelation, writes about streets paved with gold, I do not doubt his words. He simply reports what he saw in his vision, thus his words are literally true. They are also meant to tell us that the things that we value so highly in this life will be used to pave the roads in heaven. Today's gospel reading starts with Jesus telling us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, you may have noticed over the past few weeks that I very confidently tell you that the words Jesus says to his disciples are also said to us. I truly believe this. And with my deliverance of these words to you, I am asking you to believe it as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But how do you feel about these words? How do you feel about the promise made to you that your Father in heaven is pleased to give you the kingdom? We're talking about heaven now, right? The rich man in the story I just told you wanted to bring with him into heaven as much of his treasure as he could carry, lugging bricks of gold to the pearly gates. In last week's scripture parable, the rich fool wanted to store up as much treasure on earth as he could. Jesus tells us, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The first fool stored up his treasure in big, shiny new barns, then he died and it was useless to him. The second fool brought it with him to heaven, only to find out it was useless as well. Well, maybe not entirely useless. Maybe they have potholes in heaven. I certainly hope not. Both of their hearts could be found in useless stockpiles of earthly treasure. Now I know it's hard for us to imagine what heaven will be like. In our world of pain, grief, cruelty, and violence, it's hard to imagine a place where not only do these things not exist, but our very souls have been stripped clean of all of the filth in this world. A place where everyone is loved. Loved the same, each and every one of us loved as children in the eyes of God. A place where everyone is known, living together in peace, comfort, and joy. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman are on a quest to check off as many items on their bucket list as they can in the movie by the same name. They are determined to experience all of the things they've written down on their list before they die, to do and see all of the things that they believe will bring them happiness. The whole idea of a bucket list has always intrigued me. I don't think it's wrong to want to experience things in life. We learn and grow through our experiences. I, for instance, have learned that I do not ever want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane ever again. I did not enjoy skydiving. And I learned that I really like a certain amount of control. And there is absolutely no control when you are tumbling out of an airplane with a grown man strapped to your back. He is in control, and gravity is in control, but I was not, and I didn't like it one bit. To me, having a tried and true bucket list somehow infers that heaven will be boring, that we must get it all in before we die, because once we do, it's all cloud sitting and harp playing for the rest of eternity, and I think that's not only foolish, but consistent with what the rich men were thinking when they were trying to figure out what to do with their treasure. And of course, this is not at all what the Bible tells us about heaven. In John's account of the gospel, Jesus tells us, "My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Matthew tells of Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. And we have, they will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." This again is from the vision John reported in the book of Revelation. I believe that in heaven there will be work to do. Carpenters and masons will craft the most spectacular creations. Mechanics, engineers, and inventors will build the coolest things you can imagine. Gardeners and botanists will grow and tend to the most wonderful gardens. And I suppose preachers will preach. But certainly, we will all rejoice in the Lord, worshiping with true hearts in gladness and joy. As Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson sit up on a high place and look at the pyramids of Egypt, Morgan Freeman's character has more on his mind than checking off items on their bucket list. He's thinking about what comes next. Yes, he speaks of the Egyptian tale of the two questions, but what really is on his mind is the question themselves. Have you found joy in your life? And has your life brought joy to others? He speaks of joy, and Jack Nicholson's character has a hard time with the second question. He's struggling with the meaning of joy, which makes me think he truly doesn't know if he had found joy in his life, even though he was quick to answer yes to the first question. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is tied to our circumstances. Joy is not. Joy is a distinctly biblical word and is important in Christianity. Joy comes from rejoicing in the Lord, and the more we rejoice in the Lord, the more joy we experience. Joy is a thing that grows inside of us, the thing that flows from us when we truly rejoice, when we truly find joy in our love of the Lord. So let us apply this understanding of joy to Morgan Freeman's two questions. The first question can be restated as, have you rejoiced in the Lord in your life? Or we can say it this way, have you loved Jesus in your life? The second question then becomes, has your life brought rejoicing in the Lord to others, or has the way you've lived your life brought the love of Jesus to others? Has your treasure been found in the love of Jesus? Because that is where your heart will be also. Kara Tippetts, 38 years old, was the wife of Presbyterian Church in America church planner Jason Tippetts and a mother to four young children. She passed away on March 22, 2015, after a long battle with cancer. Not long after receiving her initial diagnosis of breast cancer, Kara Tippetts started a blog called Mundane Faithfulness, where she chronicled her daily battle with cancer and her fight for joy in the midst of pain and probable death. Her rawness, her sense of humor, her spiritual clarity, particularly connected with women, with close to 30,000 people subscribing to her blog. In late 2014, despite agonizing chemo treatments 3 weeks out of every month, Kara published her first book entitled The Hardest Piece, Expecting Grace in the Midst of Life's Hard. She published two more books while battling stage 4 breast cancer. The 2019 movie, The Long Goodbye, The Kara Tippetts Story, is a documentary available now on Netflix if you're interested in learning more about her life. But during an interview, Kara Tippetts was asked by online columnist Joey Eller, "When you think about heaven, what do you long for? When you think about heaven, what do you long for?" Kara answered, "I think just to see Jesus, just to see him face to face, and to see in his face how he feels towards me. I know I'm a daughter cherished. I know I am loved by God, but I wonder what it looks like in the face of Jesus. I know what my face looks like when I look at my children. What does his face look like towards me? He doesn't have a record of my wrongs. He's not disappointed with me the way I get disappointed with myself and my failings. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." As we wait, that seemingly endless wait for the kingdom to come, Jesus tells us to be vigilant, be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. It is clear that Jesus considers how we live day to day, how we manage our treasure, the gifts given to us by a generous God. It is clear that Jesus considers how we use these treasures, what we accumulate here on earth matters. Jesus tells us how we behave towards others, how we utilize the gifts of God matters. These things show where our heart is and how we live our eternity, how we will live our eternity out in Christ Jesus. How do you feel about that? As we obediently wait, ask yourself, what are you waiting for? And how does it make you feel? When you think about heaven, what do you long for? Kara Tippetts treasured Jesus. It's as simple and it's infinitely complex as that. God is not only interested in the money, time, and talent you give to the church. Now, don't get me wrong, all of your giving is important to the work and the life of the church, but God is interested in more than 10% of your life. God is interested in 100% all of it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God wants 100% of your heart. Where you spend your time, where you spend your talent, and yes, where you spend your money, God wants it all. Is there joy in your treasure? Is there joy in your heart? Does your treasure bring joy to others? Does your heart bring joy to others? Even if you hesitate and stumble to answer yes, know that our God is a God of infinite possibilities. Thanks be to God. Amen. Pray with me now. Gracious Father, keeper of every moment in eternity, we come. Not only to hear those words which can transform us, but to be filled with your grace and hope. We have come not out of habit, but to respond to your call, willing to be called away from the familiar ways of our lives. Loving Savior, walker of our journeys, in the midst of our hurried lives, you call us to lay aside all that entangles us, to follow you into service to others. You invite us to step into the waters of life and hope, reaching out to draw others to our side so that together we might enter your kingdom of laughter and joy. Holy Spirit, when uncertainty fills every block in our daily planners, you come. Grace's companion, to offer that hope which anchors us in God's heart, to place our feet firmly on that rock called peace, to bring us safely to that haven filled with God's steadfast love. God in community, holy in one, sustainer of every age, as sinners we offer the prayer Jesus has taught us, saying together with the confidence of saints, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.